Hello and welcome to Made in the 80s, podcast about the 80s by people who were made in the 80s. I am Shalia and we have, as always...
Hey, this is Kendon.
And Tim.
So Tim, tell us what's new in the world this week?
This week?
News Corner.
Tell us something news.
Okay. Sony is doing a Superfly remake.
Huh.
The old 1972 movie with Ron O'Neill. That is the news item I found out this week.
That is...
So not Shaft. Superfly.
Superfly by Sony. Who did the original?
I don't remember who did the original. It was 1972. I don't know. It
probably wasn't even a studio.
Nah. Or a studio that's not around anymore.
That makes sense. Okay. Other fun things from this week. My favorite thing from this week was the trailer for Infinity Wars. Did you guys like it as much as I did?
I did.
So excited. So excited.
Do you have any theories for what happened from after watching the trailer?
No. I was too... They do trailers really well. I was too excited from like clip to clip to clip to think about what was happening at all.
Okay.
I think Captain America dies.
Yes, I think he dies.
Fuck you! What? Why are we saying that? What makes you guys think that from the trailer? From this trailer?
But I don't think it's Cap, though.
You think it's a fake?
I think it's a Skrull. I don't think it's actually Cap.
Okay.
Do you think the Skrulls are in this? Is that confirmed?
The Skrulls are going to... Okay, so the Skrull is going to be the next movie. That's the next phase we're doing. And the Skrulls are going to be the main villain in Captain Marvel. So, yeah, I think he's a Skrull. I think we find out Cap is a Skrull.
So the Chris Evans that we see when we hear T'Challa say, "Get that man a shield," that's not Cap.
I don't think that's Cap.
I think that's cheap.
Okay, so saying regardless, whoever that is, you guys, by watching this trailer, you think that entity is going to die?
Can I tell you something that you may not have considered?
What?
Someone's died in every Avengers movie. Coulson died in the first one. Quicksilver died in the second one.
Wait, who died in the first one?
Agent Coulson. He gets murdered.
I mean,
I don't think he counts.
But he comes back.
A person dies in the movies, what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yeah, but not a hero.
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver dies in Age of Ultron.
Who's died is in Civil War?
That was an Avengers movie. That was a Captain America movie.
Oh, so this is a theory based on
it was an Avengers movie pretending like it was a Captain America movie.
It's happened twice, and we must have a pattern.
And I'm going to say one and a half.
I'm sure someone dies, but hopefully it's just the bad guy.
With the Time Stone, you can bring whoever back if you kill him.
Even cheaper.
Okay, but... Again, from this trailer, what makes you guys think that this Captain America is going to die? What in this trailer?
Cap is the character, because Thanos is a formative villain, right? Cap is the character that, if he dies, will bring everyone together. Because it can't be Spider-Man.
No, he's too young. He's new to the group.
Can't kill a kid. You kill him. Or Hawkeye.
Wait,
or
so
Iron Man.
This seems more like thinking about the actual story than it is you guys interpreting this based on the trailer.
Oh, no, nothing.
Based on the trailer, when I'm looking at it, it looks like to prove that Thanos is a significant threat, I think he has to kill somebody. And also, the fact that this is a two-part movie. That's my...
And I bring it up many deaths because what we've seen from the shots... From the set of the next movie is they're going back to the Battle of New York.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's a time travel thing or what. They're shooting a bunch of that stuff with Loki and so.
When Thor says, "Who are you guys?" or "Who are these guys?" and they show up, I'm so excited. I don't care that this trailer is like the same format as others. Like we were saying that earlier, they know how to make a trailer. Mm-hmm. It's because they make the same one over and over and over again. But I don't care. It's great. It's like a great build-up, and it makes me excited. And the end with them all running, it's like all these characters that we love, and they're like slowly adding new ones in.
And they're in Wakanda. It's the Hulk. It's Cap.
Yes. They're in Wakanda.
Black Panther. It's Falcon. It's War Machine. All in Wakanda, running towards a fight.
I really enjoyed watching the trailer. I think my only thing I wish more is that the first time I had seen it, I had been in a theater watching the trailer.
It probably is crazy on a theater.
Right? And I mean, I'm going to love it when I see it in a theater that way, but...
It'll probably be attached to Star Wars, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It'll be the last trailer you see before Star Wars.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting. But that's my only regret, is that I didn't see it for the first time in a theater. Like, oh, here it is! Oh my gosh!
That's the one thing I hate about these screenings, is they oftentimes don't show trailers.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'll go in and I just, like, I haven't seen the Black Panther trailer on a big screen yet.
Ooh.
But everyone I talked to who went and saw Thor was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That trailer's crazy.
So exciting.
I've never seen it on the big screen. Like, I've seen it on my laptop and my phone a gajillion times, but never on the big screen.
I think that's kind of cool because it's a little bit of incentive for, because like the screenings, usually it's free for people who are allowed into those screenings, yeah. Right? So it mm-hmm. is still some incentive to go to these theaters and pay them who are, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of like Patreon.
Like, I don't need to see the trailer for The Post on a big screen, but I want to see Black Panther. I want to see Avengers, Infinity Wars. I want to see, you know, what's that weird movie with the kaijus?
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim. I'd watch that.
I don't even remember their names. Yeah, the okay. Well, so as like a pass between, Tim, you are invited over to Club South End anytime to watch it on the screen that we have via YouTube.
Thank
it's
you.
Not the same, but
okay.
It's something.
All right.
All right. So that's the news.
I'll build me a wall.
This is new school.
Yeah,
this is Club South.
Yeah, Club South End, though.
Special edition recording in the daytime. Sun is shining, and yet we are here in honor of a Spike Lee joint. Our guests today,
Justin
and Shameen.
And I was born in 79. I don't know if this is 80.
You're still being
me. No.
You were like.
The making was over.
You were four as a rap.
Four as a rap.
Four
as a rap. Yeah.
Remember anything from the 70s?
No.
Nope.
It was cracking time, man.
And what are we talking about today?
School days!
What school days?
It's 1988.
It's 88.
88?
It's 88. I think it's 88.
Written, produced, and directed by Spike Lee.
And also stars.
Starring Spike Lee, Lawrence Fishburne, Tisha Campbell,
like all of the
Giancarlo Esposito,
who's
in it? Radio Raheem, who's in it? Rest in peace, he just passed away not too long ago. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people in this movie. Yeah. Kadeem Hardison's in it.
Samuel
Jackson's in it, yeah.
Daryl Bell's
in it. Yeah.
Jasmine Guy.
Yeah. Giancarlo looks the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. like this man looks
well.
The same.
Yeah. He could, yeah, I'm not arguing on that one.
Has anybody here watched Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Of course.
All I can think of is half his face.
Yeah, right. he can literally walk from the set and be Gus Fringe. Yeah. Like, legitimately. He could just put on like a little jacket and the El Polo Loco uniform.
Like every time he pops up, I'm like, oh damn.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, I remember when he popped up in Usual Suspects. I was like, oh.
That the guy
from Usual Suspects.
He was in Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, oh, it's that guy. But he's like more than that.
Right.
Because I know his name.
This is way before Morpheus.
He's saying wake up.
He's
saying the opposite. Is he saying wake
he's
up?
Saying wake
he's
up.
Saying wake up.
At some point, yeah.
Okay. So,
oh, we need a plot.
Before we go into the plot of the movie, I also want to mention that when this is released, we will be celebrating a very special day. Happy birthday, Justin. Okay,
hey,
so we're going to say happy birthday to you.
Ready, December 4th.
Set, go.
Happy birthday to you.
That was awkward.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Justin. Happy birthday to you. All right.
South End to you.
Anything else special about December 4th?
I think it was a cold day.
On the campus of
Cornell University,
Ithaca, New York.
What happened on that day?
It was the last time black people went to the school.
They're like,
what do you mean?
We can't have any more of this.
Yeah, no.
No more.
And then the Negroes did one step show. They never got invited back.
It all moved down to Howard.
Yeah, we're down
all
there. We're down there. Black people to school to work, man. One line jacket. That was enough. For the rap.
So, just our line brothers from Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated. Yeah, this is a movie about a fictional, traditionally black campus.
What do you think? What is Mission? Is like a mixture of a different campuses, like a mixture of like Spelman,
I mean,
Morehouse,
one or two HBCUs, Howard in particular. I don't know if they even tell you what state.
The colors and the stuff was like, okay, it's kind of more houses, but there's women on campus. So they're trying to mix in sort of that Spelman sisterhood and imagine that these things, instead of being in sort of the CAU, they exist on the same campus in this fictional story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is really about the dynamics, like the social dynamics on a black campus between basically Greek life and non-Greek life.
The auxiliary groups, the Amarays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like those, like,
yeah.
Are they also a sorority?
I think they're really an auxiliary group. They're like Alpha Angels will be the yellow. Certain campuses have auxiliary groups, you know.
Wait, so these girls don't pledge? They're not they're
well,
it's just
I wouldn't say they don't pledge. Okay. They not pledge, but basically they're not defined as sororities. They're really what I call helper groups to the fraternity. Back in the day, or I should say historically, they helped them. So like they will host drives to raise money.
Do parties.
Whatever. I always just kind of assumed that they were a sorority.
Food.
Yeah.
I thought they were
right. Because in our context on Bub Campus, we had basically brother-sister sorority. With
you have to understand, too, that me and Kenna, we married our Alpha Angels. Certain ladies in here, not just over here, was picking people up after sex.
They were there. they were there in the beginning.
Oh, who picked us up?
So in this movie, like, whose story arc are we following? Is it Dap? Is Dap the main character we're following?
I think there's more than one main character we're following.
So we're following Dap.
We're following Half-Pint.
Half-Pint.
Also following Rachel to some extent. I love my man who is pro-black, but I also want to be a member of this Greek world. How they present it is like they're the elites.
Right.
You know, he does say later on in the movie, I am Greek, you know. Mm-hmm. It's this level of superiority, right, to Dap.
And it's also that I think one of the other things the movie addresses is when there's that run-in with Samuel Jackson and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And you see this, and not even just the HBCUs, but you see this on college campuses especially, right? Take a place like Wazoo that's in the middle of nowhere in Pullman, or some of these colleges that are in the middle of nowhere.
Notre Dame. They name check.
There's always a rub with the people who live in the town. The townies, right? They feel like these educated college people come in. Like he says, oh, you come in and you take our jobs. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not true, the perception that every year there's a new cycle of freshmen coming in college educated people who sort of absorb the town for most of the year.
Well, full disclosure, Kendon and I both moved to Seattle to go to the University of Washington, and we live here now.
Yeah.
No, I don't doubt it's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a real friction.
Like, the sort of characters that are talking there, they're not, like, high-skilled jobs.
No.
So, probably the college students are competing. Lack of knowledge is not strong enough. He said, you're a nigger.
Yeah.
They say that. Yeah. And he's like, no, we're not. And you're not either. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of... Crabs in a Barrel is kind of a strong for it, but it's kind of a like, you haven't moved past us.
Well, no, because like, you know, in education, you chose those traits that were favorable to these university, but behind are kind of like, so why do they get chosen and not me? So it's not really about knowledge, it's about, were you able to be on time in class, were you able to do those things, you went to college.
What's worse, though, is that they know why they weren't selected. I think a lot of people who are upset know why they weren't selected.
I don't know if they don't know.
No, they know because, I mean, sort of people who do that are often called white. They're like, why are you acting white? White. It's not cool to do that in high school. They're like, oh, why do these people who weren't cool in high school, who decided to do this stuff that we made fun of,
or you got called on by the teacher because you rose your hand and your boy did it. And so they kicked him out of class and you got to stay.
But also one thing to point out.
Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah, yeah, saying, I think a lot of them, they know why these people have gotten to where they've gotten.
I think also sometimes people change. Like when they go off to college, like some people come back with big heads.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's the other piece is like,
you forget who you are.
Yeah. And I think there's something real to that. Like, I don't think it necessarily has to be necessarily jealousy. So I think it's like, I don't like you anymore because you changed.
We go too far. Yeah. We get odd overview.
Can't really sum it up. You know what I'm saying? There's so much.
There's so much.
You know,
that goes so much. It, right.
Like, I mean, the plot is a guy's, the pro black guy, his cousin is pledging. Gavin Fike.
Played by Lawrence Fishburne.
And his cousin is Spike Lee. It was really about following his transition to Gavin. But also, as far as Lawrence Fishburne's process of becoming a revolutionary, he wants to be mm-hmm. He wants to do something big. So it's really about him figuring out what the big thing he's going
to
do.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll get to that later, but I really appreciate his cause is divestment, which is a big thing back in the 80s.
Can we talk about that for a second? So there's a great intro song, and then we get introduced to Lawrence Fishburne doing a speech, and he's talking about apartheid. It's interesting because he's calling the campus out and saying all these other white schools have put money towards this, and we haven't. And the Gamma Phi Gamma crew comes in and Julian, and like, you're also harming us, and we just disagree. Like, I expected them to say like, stop worrying about it, you're fine, we're worrying about these other things. But the conversation, they don't really get into it, and that's what I wanted to ask you guys about. Because they don't get into the details, but he comes up and just says, I disagree with you, and you're actually harming people there by pushing this.
I don't know about that part of the dynamic. Well, issue, I know, which was apartheid South Africa, 50s or the 60s, where basically they were like, we're going to separate from the black population, which is the majority thing of the country, and we're going to have our own nice suburbs that come into the cities to serve us. So one of the ideas was to divest, to stop, you know, buying their stuff, stop supporting a country that probably contributed to the end of... I was in elementary school. I remember when it happened. So that's what the overall concept was.
And maybe what he said, because Julian mentions that you're harming the people who are there. And so the idea is, if you're not spending money and sending money, they're also not working and not getting paid. Like, by divesting, like, we're harming them too. So that might have been the, like, I disagree with this tact that we're taking.
Right.
Fair enough, yeah.
That might have been what it was.
It's a two-part question for the three of you here who are part of Greek organizations. What do they get right about it, and what do they get wrong about it?
That show is terrible. I mean,
what do they get right? What do they get wrong?
I got to show my sister. I was like, hey, that's the
Step Show.
Yeah, the movie.
Oh, okay.
Is terrible. They don't even step. They do some weird dance at a step show.
No, you
if you don't step,
yeah,
then. I mean, you should be disqualified.
Yeah.
They do not do a step routine. And nowadays it's good because anybody who's listening to this, go onto YouTube and look at what a step show is.
And it's different. Like, what they get right about the was different than when you were born. Black organizations are different now.
Yes. And what region you're in.
What region you're in. So it's so different than what was going on.
So, yeah, I mean, Justin and I, our experience... We're in the Pacific Northwest in Washington.
I think what they got right in the movie, how it stresses that the line is really how Ross and what they saw Sabrina saying. I pledge in the Midwest, so I'm able to travel and hit a lot more states, and there's a lot more kind of that Southern practices that come up. Like, even currently, like when we're looking in the scene of how all of them are online are saying, look, we worked hard, we need a cross. There's staff point, you're going to have to go ahead and get it.
Because, so with that cat?
Right. So I think that's where they got right as far as this scene goes, is just showing everyone is one, you know, based upon our own experience. You're never right. Your fights are just gonna always come down on. But in the end, what it really is mental fortitude. Legend is not just about in that setting, it's about life in general. We're doing to you as pro fights, then you can handle life, whether it be in your personal life, professionally, what have you. And you know, at the end when they cross and they're all celebrating, saying we're proud of you, that's the real deal. It's a sense of accomplishment. Work this hard and we're all one.
I want to say, like, specifically nowadays, even back in, thousands, like, you hear a lot from people who aren't in there or from the news. You hear a lot of what the bad stuff is, but that is a aspect. And I want to separate that from white Greek life, where vodka down somebody's throat, allowed him to sit on a futon until he died.
Yeah, I saw that.
I want to make clear, like, whatever process we were all involved in, there was no alcohol. No alcohol involved, ever, in our stuff. But I just wanted to throw that out there. But, like, a lot of the negative stuff you hear from the outside, I think, fails to really have the point of view of those of us who are going to these organizations. We really have a connection with the people we joined.
No matter where we are in the country, I mean, where I go, I have a network, so I can easily say I have sorors in Florida, and I'm connected with them, and that when I land, it's, what do you need? How can we take care of you? You know, always that connection, or I'll even take it outside of my organization. Other sororities or the fraternity, I need some information or I need help, I have a network. I'll use Kenny here. Last year around Thanksgiving, I heard a lot about him before I met him, when I finally met him. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm an Alpha. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Delta. And he was like, oh, you know, let's stay connected. Let's hang out. Here I am a year later because we're family. NPHC is a family.
I'm going to interject here. I mean, I'm friendly. I go that extra mile.
This is true.
For Shamin, though.
But I'm speaking of it in the Greek context.
So it's a shared experience.
It's
and I mean, no matter how you feel about, like over time about the people you cross with, or your brothers, no matter what, or your sisters, however you feel about them, like, I'll still go to the mat one of them.
Right.
If necessary.
So I think it's interesting because What I, as somebody on the outside of that, what I always saw was this group of people who are trying to exclude others. And that's how it seemed to me. You're selecting, similar to what you were saying, Justin, about, you know, who gets to college. You're selecting who gets to be in this group. And then once you're in and everyone else is out. And I think that's an interesting thing. When you just look at like the short synopsis online, it says you have Lawrence Fishburne who's trying to unite the student body. He's trying to rally everybody around this like social issue. And then you've got the Gamma Phi Gamma group where it's like they're trying to unite themselves. And they're like, it's like, do you want everybody to rally all together or do you want to make a really strong center here, which is what I think these do. And then you have strong units that then connect to each other, right? Like within the whole Greek community, you have these things that like work and you all know each other and you all work together. So it's just different levels, I think, and it's really interesting.
I went into the military before I pledged, so a lot of the things that my pro fights threw my way, necessarily challenging in a sense, but already been indoctrinated into that world by way of the Army.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see the value of it.
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, but I was like that too, because like, I mean, over there was kind of for a prep school, for all the same stuff, really.
Yeah,
it's forging a team, forging a group.
Right.
And part of where I wanted to go with that is that, like, you're saying that excluding is part of it, but, like, by the time, I mean, it was important, first of all, like, Alpha Phi Alpha was the first of these Black Greek organizations, founded by seven Black men at an Ivy League university in 1906. So, for whatever, like, the comments are about this nowadays, the idea was, we stick together in places that are not that are hostile to us in a lot of ways. In order for us all, and all of them came out and graduated. So nowadays, an interesting thing that has been brought up a lot is that the civil rights movement. By the time you get to the 80s, or even the 70s, and definitely by the time that Justin and I came through and Shamin, the Black cause, you know, Black civil rights, enough people had been fragmented from that. The idea that this is about, like, recreating these groups, but that's the side of it that I see. Important organizations for bonding and keeping the struggle moving forward, because whatever Lawrence Fishburne is talking about, by the end of this movie, his buddies are like, yeah, but I'm, like, one of them's like, I'm first generation college, so I'm not gonna risk having to leave this university for your cause. So there's a certain, weakness is a strong word for it, but there's certain weakness in going at it alone and trying to get people to just say those versus the sort of bond that you get when everybody is on the same page.
I also think with that when you become a member of these organizations, you're not really separated from that org. It's not like Shamin made a mistake. It's Shamin Delta made this dumb mistake. So you're always associated. So they drill presenting yourself in a favorable light. So I think that's where that separation may come from for those that are on the outside versus those that are in, because you have to uphold yourself in a life. So you kind of box yourself in a little bit. You don't really relax when you first cross because you're like, oh, wait, I got to be careful almost in some sense.
One thing we should definitely keep in mind, the civil rights movement, even at the time, was viewed by a lot of people who were not in the Black elite as being a lot of the college educated people who brothers Martin Luther King, who are pushing this forward. So a lot of people just had to go to work. So some of this separation has always been.
But I'll go ahead.
And I was going to answer your question about it being. I think about practice. You know, about a burden. You know what I'm saying? So like, it was about those who actually were about, you know, uplift. Like you did more. So I'm at a elite white university, oppressing myself further than the white students were. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I really took put these people on your backs.
Well, also, I mean, like, if I fuck up, you also have to. It's like all of us pay for what the group does, and you know that's so, part of Black. I mean, Black life.
So it's really about it's seeming leaders because everybody's about that life. You know, so, so if you went through this process, that means you were about this life.
Here's the one thing that I've said all along. I still have it. Kenan's tried to explain it to me. Whenever we talk about, when I ask this question, we go back to 1906 and these men who, you know, stuck together, they got each other through. There were women on that campus too. There were Black women on that campus. And my question has always been, why did it have to be something that excluded them? Like, why couldn't it have been something that all, I mean, there were so few. Why did they have to be excluded?
But, I mean,
that was the 1900s.
The simple answer is it was a time of the time. It was a thing of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and
it It seems odd now, but at the time it was probably way more normal to say, this is what men do. Men do these things. And women, as always, have been supportive. But, you know, it took a while for women's suffrage to come through. And so they've always had to play the background. I don't think it was intentional. I think that was sort of the culture in this country.
08 was the founding year of, very soon after, women were creating similar organizations.
Yeah. And women have always been in the forefront. But women have always been in the forefront of every movement. That's never not been the case. Right? So whether they get credit or not, we know that's always been the case.
I think, and then the other piece to it, and is part of the answer, I think, is also you kind of figure out what works. And when you're doing these, like, there was white or these things already in place, and it was like, we don't need to be part of this. You clearly don't want to take it and make it our own and be strong and create this. And so it's, I mean, look at how long these have lasted, right? And how important. These are questions that I had when I met Kendon as a freshman, right? Like, what is this? I don't understand. And now as an adult, looking at the history and looking at, you know, getting older, how important, like Shamin was saying, these are into adulthood and into professional connections and all of that. It doesn't matter that you are this or that, and you're not going to expel from your, you know, you're not going to write someone off because they're not. You saw that a couple times when, like, Lawrence Fishburne would be getting into it with Julian, and then the student body president would show up, and like he would be so frustrated and trying to keep order or whatever. And they all, like, in the end, he asks, like, do you want to kill each other? No, of course not. Like, we respect each other, we care about each other, we actually love each other. We just disagree strongly, and that, yeah, it's a family, and that they get that, and that even within there, they have their sharps, but
we're all one. Yeah, we're in this together.
Other than acceptable grades, like, this is not a situation where it's that. It's about commitment and things like that. But like, as soon as I cross, there was a white guy, an alpha, a white guy from Oregon, who literally gave me the shirt off his back. Like, had a cool looking, yeah, a black girl, a black and gold. Oh, where'd you get that? And he was like, this was a prototype. So it's not going into production.
That's a hot shirt.
You can have it, right? Remember?
Yeah,
I wore it for like a year until I was no longer a large. But then also, like, one of the guys in the line before us was Filipino. Like, it's black Greeks have never been exclusionary because we come from a background of being excluded.
So this is actually one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
We are 40 minutes 26 seconds in.
Okay. Oh no, when he's cleaning his room up because the girl's coming over. I remember doing that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm surprised, you know, like, ladies actually went for that. I saw, you know what I'm saying?
We didn't know any better.
And just throwing the clothes in the closet. Okay, like, and it had to stink in it, though.
I mean, it's not like our rooms in high school were that much better.
Maybe we just didn't care. All right, that was the other thing. Like, I appreciate the fact that you care enough to try to make it look better, but also I know what
you
know.
It is what,
like,
it is.
Yeah, I'm having a disease.
If you go to my roommate too, they ain't me stinking.
I wanted to finish off by pushing back a little bit on the whole idea of exclusion. Not an mostly on anything other than your desire to go through it. Don't exclude by any sort of race or that. I always see it as much more of an inclusion.
And I mean, I'm not bothered. I just, it's one of those philosophical questions that I wonder about. Like, at this point in my life, I think it's set up. And also, like, I don't know that a co-ed organization like this made of
no.
effective. When we see how much trouble these kids are getting into, yeah, not that.
Hot watch is the burning.
I like that.
Is it that bad?
What?
I liked it.
Oh, no.
I thought it was terrible. My sister and I watched it. My sister never says this. My sister said, this was a waste of my time.
It was that bad? I never watched it.
I mean, that movie is not representative. I think it is completely a waste of my time. And especially after rewatching this movie, I'll let you make your case. After rewatching this movie is a lot more representative.
Well, it's made by a genius, though. I mean, you can't compare Bernie Sanders
to
school days. Yeah, come on, yeah, man. What are you doing? Like, come on, man. You know,
on the list
man.
Of black Greek yeah. movies, how long do you think the list of black Greek movies are? Right? And how high up there, as far as viewership, is the Burning Sands versus this? Like, I'd much rather anybody who thought they wanted to watch the Burning Sands watch this first. If for all of the warts and Greek life, this is at least a more honest portrayal.
This is an honest portrayal?
I mean, from Spike Lee's perspective. Yeah. I mean, it's always from somebody's perspective.
Right. I, this is not really about black life, I think.
more about the difference in black people in general. Outside of life.
Yeah.
This is just a lens.
But this is a dynamic that echoes all the way through life.
Greek Life is the vehicle this is showing this black experience through, but it's about the black experience.
Right, but I mean, we can compare this to something like White People. All about.
I don't like that.
It was entertaining. I like the show.
The movie.
But that's not. I like the title.
Well, so this was a lot like Dear White People, except for minus the white people. But like in terms of the dynamics between the students, there are some pieces I recognized in watching this, and my sister and I. We're watching it together.
So my question is, how do you guys feel about how this film is structured?
I think everyone gets clarity. About the movie, you see everyone kind of just saying, this is my lane, I'm focused, here it's moving along, and then you have the, I call wisdom nuggets, or your friends saying to you, hey, out a little bit.
He respects all of his characters.
I would disagree.
From the point of view, even if there is something happens to them that's not great, I think he respects...
Are you looking at the sexy though? Like, how great was Spike Lee sexy? I watched that show, Deuce and Mary.
The Deuce?
All right.
Called Rosie Perez, remember the ice? Like, his sexies were amazing.
All right, we're going to go back to the question of pacing. And I want to point out that it starts with, it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot about that until the next scene where it's, or at the next point where it says Saturday. And we're like, whoa, that's, and I think we are still in Friday. We're 48 minutes in, right? The sex scene. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we haven't hit that point yet. Like the half the movie happens on this one day. And you're like, wow, that's a lot going on.
It's homecoming, it's the end of the process. There's a lot going on.
I don't imagine
crossing in the fall though.
I don't like how this film is paced, and I don't like the structure of the film at all.
Okay.
Because much like Spike Lee's work,
it's Saturday now, right?
It's Saturday now.
Just Saturday. Okay.
It's uneven. In a lot of ways. It's uneven. So
I like that.
I like it too.
Parts of the film feels like an all-star game where these guys are getting up shots and everyone's having fun. And other parts feel like they're trying to score 20 points in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it feels very heavy-handed. And also, like, I've never enjoyed Spike Lee sex scenes.
Okay. Really?
No. Because I just feel... As a kid, yes. As a young man, yes.
Because Rosie was on the show and I'm thinking about
it. But as an adult, it just feels... unnecessary. Like, I feel like
sex scenes always bore me.
It just feels unnecessary.
They watch too much porn and they're bored with movies.
But no, because they don't. No. They don't seem real to me.
No.
I'm not talking about Spike Lee's. I'm talking about your general movie sex scenes.
No, because it's all like a male's fantasy point of view most of the time. It's never.
Whatever the case is, no. It seems. Everything good.
What are we talking
about? They're trying to make me blush.
I'm not saying dirty. I mean, it all seems so smooth. There's always like saxophone music and all this other shit. And
it's a fantasy from a male's point of view.
But I mean, come on. This is the first time black bodies were naked in a respectful way. In a
really?
Sex scene.
I don't know if it's respectful.
But is this rare?
By a black artist? Yeah, I mean, like, where it's sexy. Like, that ice scene was sexy.
It's not overly...
It's not overly talking. Like, these are two black people making love. I mean, you don't even get to see that
talk. And they don't show anything.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, totally.
Well, I'm thinking about, what's the new show? Lisa Ray's show.
It's Secure.
Were they having sex in that? Like, this... Like, don't, like...
It's wrong.
Our bodies aren't always, like...
That's what I meant by clean. The edges are always sanded off. Sex scenes. It's like, no. I mean, it's two people interacting, and it's not always so, like...
Yeah.
I've never enjoyed his sex scenes in Spike Lee movies. Even, like... I remember watching Chirac. I was like, what is this?
I didn't see Chirac.
Don't see it.
Kind of like
Girl 6. Said. That was one of my introductions.
I think the last one I watched was Bamboozle.
So She Hate Me. Like, you look at all these movies, like, they're all kind of done the same.
Which one came before?
She Hate Me.
She came before Bamboozle.
So I don't know. I never really enjoyed them. This was sort of a reminder. And they've got the problematic sex scene at the end of the movie.
But I would say, as far as pacing,
there's a few issues with that.
As far as your comment on pacing, though, like, life is not paced like a movie. When I watch this, it seems like life. Like, it's not paced like a three... Yeah, it's college life. It's not a three-act structure and that sort of... Like, yeah, sometimes in your life, you're trying to score 20 points.
But he does this, all... I'm not saying just this movie. Like, this is the thing Spike Lee does... All the time.
It works for this movie. It works for Right Thing. It works for that. Like I said,
it works better. It works better in Do the Right Thing than it does.
I think it works.
Well, Do the Right Thing.
This is my
best movie.
This reminds me of college.
I like the Jungle Fever though. That was
Jungle Fever too.
Yeah. Y'all saw it.
I don't remember the pacing of Jungle Fever.
Because before they kill Gator, it got real boom, 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 boom before the dad shot him. So I can see that.
But this here seems true to life. Because like, first of all, the whole idea that this is all on a weekend is like, yeah, the week goes by, but the weekend is where you pack in important stuff.
I really appreciated this Saturday morning because it's the first time we've talked about. Okay, so at this college, we have all of these different groups of people, right? And this parade is finally my chance to see it. And where you have the pep club, you have the different fraternities, you have, like, it was really nice to get a visual of everybody and where they fit.
Homecoming.
I want to
And that's what happens at HBCU Homecoming.
Those glasses
homecoming.
She's wearing, though.
I when I watched this one with Kim, I was like, those are pretty hot.
Homecoming, I went to.
But even just the way they objectify Tisha Campbell's character is crazy to me.
Why?
I think it's problematic.
In 2017, I see more exploitation than even that. Look how covered up she is.
It's not about her being covered up. It's not about the nudity of the show.
What is it?
It's the fact that he wants to give her away at the end. Like, she's like this piece of property he gets to pass around to his friends. And this idea that she doesn't have any agency outside of her connection to this fraternity. She should, but she does not.
I'd argue she gives away her agency.
Does she?
She has choices.
When
is a real problematic place. We're not going to go too deep in.
No, please do. I'm going to.
No, she has her choices. Nobody takes her agency away. She takes every single choice that she makes. Wants the letters that he has.
But he's lying to her.
That is right.
How do you lie to her? Yeah, no. Life is about being lied to.
Before they get there, he's already saying, "I'm done with her." Right, he says that going into it, and then makes it sound like, "Oh, but I want you to do this," and then holds it against her afterwards.
But she sets that up.
She's coming into it with not full
intention. No, like in college, your boyfriend, which I guess tells you,
I guess was me.
I realized it was also one of my issues. But I come up to you, and I'm like one of my neos.
We're talking about an 18, 19-year-old who is supposed to be in love, and I'm doing air quotes with this guy, and you know, like we talked about earlier, she's all for she's down for G5G.
And he asks her
so he's saying, how much do you love this? She's impressible.
How could he have broken up with her, though?
He could have just broke up with her.
How?
Just I'm left done. Her.
No. You think she would have stopped?
But these are it's not the point.
Could he have just literally told that girl, look, this relationship's over with, and she would stop messing with him? Or did
if she broke up with the head of the fraternity, she would have been on the outs. And that's the thing. She wanted to be a part of this whole club or whatever. But like, let me just say, she wasn't drunk. She wasn't forced to do any of this stuff. Her agency was never stripped away from her.
Okay, here's the thing. We can't look at women being taken advantage of, them only being drunk or physically attacked. Oftentimes coercion, oftentimes it's like you said in this movie, she's being lied to, it's control.
Yeah.
It's what we've seen with Harvey Weinstein. It wasn't always like, I'm coming, I'm grabbing you, I'm raping you. It's like, I have this thing that you want, and if you want it...
Harvey Weinstein was doing that, though.
He did, listen.
Harvey Weinstein has a level of power within his...
And so does he.
My point is, Harvey Weinstein had a level of power, whereas what he was doing was much harder to resist than this situation.
I would disagree.
Not from a college aspect.
No, I would disagree.
I think because, like he said, I am Greek. It's a superiority. Yeah. It's like, I am a god, so you want to be down with me, you're going to do what I say
here's my point, that's where
Jane's character comes in is, I'm with the top dog of the fraternity. Exactly. He is a god. Everybody loves him. I'm revered. You see how they talk to Jane? You got the finest.
Right.
She was not the finest one of the gamma rays, but because by association, that made her the finest one, which gave him the power to say, I'm going to go ahead and cut her loose, and any of y'all can have her any way you want her.
But hold on. But Harvey Weinstein came out and did things to people, right?
Did you see that scene? Hold on. He went out and did things. Raise your head if you're bothered by that scene.
My hand is raised. Harvey Weinstein physically got in the way of people, pulled his penis out, did all of these proactive things. He didn't simply tell her, like any of these women, to go and have sex with a different person.
But he said, come watch me take a shower.
He was the active participant.
Yeah.
And my thing is also that it's half points. It's at least as much half points. Half points should not have touched.
That's what I'm saying.
She goes into a room crying. You don't touch a woman who goes into a room crying.
Literally, when I watched that scene, Robert, too, back with me and my mom had a discussion. That was like, when the movie came out, like, that scene, they were all at fault for that.
Everybody's at fault.
Which would make that wake up thing so much better.
Yes.
And that's what made it click in Fishburne's mind. What the hell are we doing? Like, are you like, I would tell your mama. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, what are you doing? What is wrong with her? What is wrong with him? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with everybody?
The whole thing is
wrong. Like, what's wrong with you guys?
I think that's right.
But I guess my point was the term agency. And I feel like there's a lot of times where agency is taken away, and I don't think this.
I agree that she got hustled. It's not a hustle. A hustle is like
I'm selling you an iPad, and it's magazines. That's a hustle.
I think she got hustled.
I know she got hustled.
You don't like to hear it because, like you said earlier,
he lied. He said he was done with her before he went in. He hustled her. She's got one more thing that I can
make. But in the context of this movie, though, I think that he was trying to show her that you're not in love with me. You're in love with this fraternity.
Right, and he wasn't necessarily wrong. Justin, you asked the question. I think it's a good question of, I don't think he could have just shook her.
But I think Kenny made a good point, though. She's on the outs.
She would have been there. She would have come back. It would have been drama. She wasn't going to just let him drop her. Yeah, it was going to be a pain.
It reminded me of the scene in, what's that movie with True Detective? When old girl slept with the detective, and she said she did that so the husband wouldn't hang on anymore.
Yeah.
It was the reverse of that.
Yeah,
like that's really what it was.
But that's her. That's her making the choice.
But it's a partnership. So both of them had to do things extreme to get the other.
But it's her choice.
I'm saying,
you know what I mean?
But I feel that. But they both had to do something extreme in order to get the other partner let go.
I mean, that's my end point. Is that I think it was her choice in the end.
Really?
Was her choice?
With sexual assault on campus, and there's fuzzy or whatever, alcohol involved, whatever. I feel like hers is a lot more cut and dry.
They were both sober.
Her boyfriend was standing outside the door listening.
But she went into the door.
He walked her to the door.
No, but again, he's her boyfriend, and he said, I want you to have sex with somebody else. I mean, that's, and I don't mean in the positive way, that's pimp shit. That's like, I'm going to turn you out.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was.
But that's my point. Her mind was impressionable. She's not formed an opinion or basically to say, oh, hell no, I'm too good for this. It's the status thing. It's the, I'm the queen, everyone reveres
me. There's a base level, this is wrong. I'm telling you, right.
But she's not thinking like that because she's young and impressionable.
How come you don't give that same type thing to the first age?
I'll give it to them too. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying
the boyfriend.
Maybe he thinks it's norm. Maybe he's
young minded too.
Right, he's young minded.
But yet we're like yelling at him for doing that.
Let's flip it. His boy pressing on him. Oh, dog, you got the finest one, you know. So it's now it's
because I don't really think it's a matter of maturity with men. I think it's a culture that we live in where I don't think it's just maturity because even men our age treat women a certain way and it's they normalize the behavior even though it's wrong.
I don't treat my wife the same way that I treated her when I was 23.
Right. There is,
and I'm proud to say
I'm not saying the maturity isn't a factor. But what I am saying though, what I know if we just deal with simple truths, right? The simple truth is in our culture, we treat women a certain way. And men oftentimes normalize that behavior because that's the hierarchy we live in. That's our power structure in this country. Wrong or right, we like
in our culture. What do you mean by that?
You and Kendon.
Everyone I know
will always been
said black culture.
Men, not just black culture. I'm talking men. As black men, we're not the faces. But as men, right? There's a culture of misogyny that we benefit from. Just off, there's nothing we can do about it. It's something that we live through, and part of that comes with the objectification of women and how we treat women as objects. And you see that when you see the way he so just casually says it's whoever, and these men are like, oh, well, they're gonna get dibs on her, right? That's something that exists in our culture with men in general and how we look at women.
I was just looking at that on Twitter today. A guy who's very popular putting on these events.
I saw that as well.
Has sexually assaulted women at these events.
Multiple
women. And when the one woman spoke up, it was, oh, he wouldn't do that. He's a feminist. He holds up women to the higher standard.
But all these stories start coming out.
It was like, whoa. And he's used women, his female friends, and the pawn of this game. Mm-hmm. And he's also used violence. You know, I've killed people. You know what I'm saying? So I think in that context of, yes, he is young-minded, impressionable, and so on and so forth, but I'm saying with regard to her, it's she's not thinking in of.
And let's also think about, in this situation, who is harmed? Because they're all wrong. They all make bad decisions. Yes. But in this situation, the person most harmed, in my opinion, is her.
It's her.
So that's why we're like, yes, she made bad decisions, but she's also the one who suffered for it.
Also, the person...
I think Spike is harmed, too.
I'm about to say, the person's second most harmed?
Spike, because imagine,
Spike's
harmed. In his case, he may be okay or whatever, but if you think about your average person, if you take an average...
How does he treat women
for the rest of his life?
I'll be honest.
He was handed over a woman to be used for one purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
That hurts women down the line. That hurts him down the line.
But also, I'm saying, Spike is a victim too. Like, they're both victims of the situation.
Yeah. And the two of between the, I was, what I had forgotten this. Yeah. I had forgotten what happened. Well, I'm extremely disappointed in him. Even at that age, I know. Like, there's a lot of things that I don't want to go back and say, oh, I would have been smarter, blah, blah, blah. And this is one that I would say abso-fucking-lutely not.
He was impressed upon. It was...
Same,
it ain't just the big brothers that's coming
it's
in.
It's everyone.
It's his line.
And it's the whole movie.
Justin is always been very convincing. He could not have convinced me of that. He wouldn't have tried to.
Can you not use my government name anymore?
But what we see Half Pint go through is part of that culture I spoke about, right?
Yeah.
This idea that you're not a man until this thing happens, right?
Yeah.
And so you put him in this pressure situation to do this thing that he doesn't want to do with the woman who doesn't want to do it because
he doesn't want to do. I mean, you know.
He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it.
I don't know. I feel Tim on that. Because
he doesn't want
to
do
it. We don't have to do this.
Yes,
you see the reluctancy.
The whole movie, though.
She could have dropped
out. She could have said, "Yeah, we're not going to."
She could have given him an out as well. They could have done that, like comedy movies do all the time, where they're like bang on the wall and like, oh. They could. I mean, that's kind of more of a comedy movie thing, but he is not a man. He's not a man when he comes out of that situation.
But
it's like the opposite.
But that's what real Joy Burton says. It was a fake, right?
No,
Bernie said they faked it though. You know what I'm saying?
But again, it was pranks. But again,
he's literally down there. Later on, they have him. They have the pledges with their hands in toilets squeezing poop that turns out to be bananas.
Well, but we said earlier about what did they get right about it?
Yeah.
What they get right about it was the ruse part of the whole process. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or my dead body. You know what I'm saying? Hey, touch the shit. It is bananas. You know what I'm saying? Like, and even, and also, well, they also got around, if you look at the pledges, the comedy of it, they're still cracking up. You know what I'm saying? Like, Slim, you know what I'm saying? What time is it? You know what I'm saying? How to watch? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still like, I think from the outside, you might not be able to see it unless you're on the inside. There's a, for me at least, maybe I'll have to turn it up online. It's like a,
how old were you?
Humor.
So you were 23. I was like 18.
See, I was like your age. I was 24.
There's a huge difference between being 18 and 22.
Yeah.
I'll say there. But then also, like, the whole idea of demeaning your brother, like somebody who is going to be your brother, even from an older brother's point of view, I think the thing, like the poop, right, which is really bananas. Like, you want to kind of give them the feeling. I think that's what I'm seeing here. You want to give them the feeling, but like, you don't actually want to go demeaning somebody who later you want to be able to stand my brother. Like, oh, also I had him. This is what bothers me about all the stories you hear about white frats. Like, pouring liquor down their throats, making them swim in actual shit and piss. Like,
butt chugs,
all of them. Yeah. That's not brotherhood. That's not brotherhood.
That's
what they win as a race.
Because they're willing to.
Because they go there.
We just hit some real shit here.
Even Dap's group has their own brotherhood.
Yeah, they do.
Even though they're not on Greek Life or Pledging, they have their own.
They do.
They have their brotherhood, and you see that dynamic, which, you know, now I'm looking at it, I find very interesting. You got the Greek dynamic of brotherhood, but then you have this, we're not Greek, but we forged this bond as brothers. And it's authentic. It's, you're my brother. I'm going to tell you when you're wrong. I'm going to tell you when you're tripping. I'm going to tell you when you need to be quiet. I'm going to tell you when you need to walk away.
I don't know. My mother has a good anecdote about my father, because my parents met in college. My mom's Greek. She's Zeta. My dad's not. They met in college at UT. He's a Zeta. He's not Greek, but he joined.
He's a super smart black guy walking around. You know I'm about to be an engineer, right?
My point is, my dad joined, and he went into an engineering group with several other black engineers. He didn't join Alpha, but my mom tells me about how he used to be in the cafeteria, him and his friends talking about me, find me. Which is what, and so he had his group, and I've gone to dinner with them in Georgia when we've gone back. So it's not like they don't have a similar bond. So you're right, that can arise in different situations. You don't have to necessarily Greek.
But I want to point out, though, even in that car conversation, they're pressuring him about girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to that.
Guys,
again, I'm not saying it's the problem. I'm saying it goes back to the culture we live in, where that's a thing. Because it's fun amongst us. Because let me be personal. It's fun amongst my friend group because I know my friends are solid men, right? But that attitude can be very toxic in other situations, and that's the thing that you see in this film that can be dangerous.
Arguably, you should know about sex by the time
you
should have experienced something by the time you're 20.
But then, how
it should be consensual between two.
Listen, there are men older than us who do not understand consent.
Yes. That's my point.
No.
You should implement that consent early.
No, consent hasn't changed.
It has changed.
How's consent changed?
Age of consent used to be, what, 16?
I'm not talking about age of consent.
How much coercion you can use before you take away somebody's agency has changed.
How's it changed?
Wait, hold on. With the age of consent thing, like I said, in Alabama or something like that, it was like 16, right? The whole idea that anybody can consent at that age and take away agency of a 16-year-old versus somebody who's 19.
Yeah.
Like, that whole conversation has changed. That whole
I'm not talking about the age.
Your age affects your consent.
Yeah.
So they're saying if it's considered younger, that means that what it means to be consistent. But I want to put this out real quick, though, because I watched this with my wife this morning before I was drinking. And there's a... In this scene right here, homeboy boy right here.
How far in are we?
The dude in the red jacket?
No, in the blue jacket.
Right. You're right. So we're 1 hour, 9 minutes in.
So in the blue jacket right here, right? So when they first come back out, when the homeboys from the block come out and the brothers from college come out.
Justin, describe the scene because.
Okay, so we're outside the Kentucky Fried Chicken right now, and Samuel Jackson and his boys come out. Lawrence Fishburne tries to leave, and then Kadeem Hardison in the New York jacket, the hip hop homeboy, says, "Come back." He's mad. I can't eat my chicken. So when they come back, homeboy right here in the blue jacket says this phrase that I thought about. But I could be a little conspiracy theorist. He goes, "Hey, is there a problem here?"
I'm
wondering, did Singleton, because Ice Cube the same thing at the movie theater.
Yeah,
is there a problem here? He did the same motion. Is there a problem here? He never did. He said, right. Is there a problem? So I'm wondering, like, did he see that and did he make that
possibly
when he wrote that? You know,
what are we saying? Like, what area is Kardeem coming from?
No, we're talking about not him.
So you're talking about his connection to Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, I was saying, the connection to Boys in the Hood.
And Singleton and
Which
right
is that?
And Fishburne.
Right, the right. And the blue jacket right there.
Right.
He goes, is there a problem here? You know what I'm saying? When they come out to fight, is there a problem here?
Right. Right. But that's the sort of thing that he might say if he's from California. That's why I'm sorry. It's not Kardeem who says it.
It's not Kardeem.
The other guy in the blue jacket. Yeah. No, that's completely like, you're
right. Yeah,
it depends on where you come from. Because the other thing is, like, people who are coming to these HBCUs are coming from all over the country, from all different backgrounds, you know? Like, we know people who went to real nice college or whatever who still, like, will act like this if the situation arises where...
The funny thing about the standoff is, like, these aren't their
right
peers.
Right, there's their problem here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These aren't their peers. Like, these guys in the town are...
No, these are their peers.
No, those guys are very much older than
that. Not that much
older. I think they're a little older.
They're older.
A little bit, but close enough to be peers. They're not, like, they're not a generation older.
I don't know about peers, though.
I don't know about their peers.
Yeah.
Look at that dude in the red. That has to be somebody's dad.
No, man.
My man. That could be somebody's dad.
I put wager on them at most 5 years, which is not that much.
Enough, because these guys are kids.
They're kids.
Yeah, but I mean, wherever they came from, they would have been challenged by people who were 5 years older than them.
But the other thing that I like about the scene is that in the restaurant, the other brother wasn't afraid to talk to them, though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I think nowadays, if the brothers at UW saw some thugs cats in the same restaurant and they wouldn't give them something, cats would be like him. They wouldn't say nothing. They'd be like, oh, no, I'm not talking to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, where he's like, nah, I'm still going to, you give me the salt.
Right. And my area, that's what I see.
Yeah.
It don't matter. It's the, I'm going to have a conversation with you because I'm not afraid.
I also think that's cultural too. That's something we were talking about the other day. Like, this white woman called a cop on somebody. I was like, yo, all you had to do was just walk up and just ask person what was going on.
Yeah.
That's it. It would have no beef, no nothing. Because Kimber said, hey, what's happening? They would have squashed it.
Without having to call the cops.
Without having to call police.
This was good. You are not, yeah.
Well, he also talked about
it. Hold on. This scene right here, towards the end, they're talking about black guys from the area who are not college students. Like, you guys are niggers, just like the rest of us. You're always going to be. And Lawrence Fishburne's thing has always been, we're not niggers, you're not niggers, none of us are niggers.
Just like with Tupac, Sarah, and Juice, right? Good shit, because I ain't shit.
Yeah.
And I'm better than you.
That's exactly what needs to be turned around, though. You need to convince them that they're shit, too.
Well, no,
it's the opposite of that.
Well, that's a more societal thing, because, like, I didn't go to college, let's say I'm a custodian. Am I the same as the vice principal of my school? Because we have these hierarchies of what work is and what work is more valuable, that's why the custodian feels less than me. As the administrator, you don't make more money than you. You should still feel less than me. Your job is as vital as mine. Like, I don't want those sticky floors.
If I'm gonna go back to just the Declaration of Independence, the country says all men are created equal. That custodian is equal to you. He may not have achieved the same sort of things.
He's created
equal.
Created.
They're created.
What did I say?
You said created.
Yeah.
But that's the crux.
Which means that he has the same...
We're created equal. We're created. That doesn't mean we're going to...
We don't remain equal.
We don't remain equal.
I'm saying, though, he's still a man. He can have the same dignity as you, no matter what he's doing. I feel like it's a dignity thing, not an achievement thing.
I don't know about...
Maybe
get back to school days.
We got to stop the brothers...
Here, let's turn it up.
An hour and 14 minutes.
You're fine. You're good. Ice Baby.
Anybody who watches this movie, this is real stepping at the beginning. Oh. And whatever the gamblers do is not real stepping.
How did they decide that, you know, out of all the organizations, which ones they chose to put in the movie?
The best one.
The best. Wow. Also the first.
Well, it literally was an Alpha Angel.
Shalia has official Alpha Angel status if she wants it.
Thank you. That's my agency.
I'm giving you
if
agency.
I want it.
Because,
how that works?
Because I'm sure people wanted to, like, other orgs wanted to be involved in that, like at a movie, a Spike Lee movie.
I really feel like the cues might have been, but if you don't put the alphas in, it's to me. I mean, this is obviously self-interested, yeah. But if you don't put the alphas in, you kind of miss the point.
Yeah.
So my wife thought this would be a good musical. She said into this scene right here.
So
1 hour 18 minutes. I mean, there's a lot of music in this.
No,
this scene here.
Yeah, because. What they say? They use the F word
a lot. Well,
they could change that.
If I'm producing,
what word is being used here?
The F word. F A G.
Yeah.
Oh.
Multiple times.
Yeah. They say gamma F A G.
And we're hearing it a lot since we're doing it.
So I saw punk.
I mean, we're about
after
to do
that,
after that.
Says it.
So
it shows up in Teen Wolf.
So in Teen Wolf a lot, and he says it too. Like, oh, I'm not or whatever.
When we decided to do the 80s, we knew we were going to be cringing a lot.
In terms of being in or not, like we literally just saw them scrub Kevin Spacey from a movie. They went.
They scrubbed
him. They
said.
They said.
Like Kevin Spacey.
But like that guy. But see, like that's the length people are willing to go to be like we're going to scrub you. It doesn't matter. Like this is something that's offensive, and they're willing to pay money to go remove him from the film.
Yeah. Big money deals though.
Huh?
They canceled Spacey's Netflix movie.
It's a wrap.
Big money.
Yes.
That's big money. And then
gone.
It's gone.
Eight figures.
Yeah.
I so appreciate it.
Is that going to stop the culture?
Yes. This feels different.
I also talk about the dynamic differences in powers.
Hold up.
Because no one's ever lost anything.
So you using an N word is not really going to carry the same weight as when you use this N word.
I don't raise an analogy to the gun debate, but.
Who is privileged to?
You think it doesn't have the same effect?
No. All right. What I'm saying is the level of privilege that's carried. When you're using an N word, you're talking about the dichotomy of power. We're not in power. We don't have the norms to
we were 8 years
in
power.
Sense. I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're using this F word and you're talking about the level of privilege and you're talking about the LGBTQA entirety. Look at the dynamic of that group and who is in power. It ain't us. It's not us.
They will shut this production down.
Okay, so I want to get back to my question.
Yeah,
we are.
And I gotta fry fish.
We are an hour, almost 20 minutes. I don't understand. I've been to my own share.
Let me pause it up. Hey, this is 1 hour.
Exactly. Wait. Exactly. Gamma, what?
Huh?
Gamma.
Hey, there's a star next to it, too, though.
There's a star, too.
That's cool. Great.
Okay, so I don't understand. I've been to my fair share of step shows. I don't understand how these guys got on the stage and got to do what they're doing.
Because technically, a step show is really a talent show.
Right.
So anybody can actually sign up. You're a puppet university.
So they signed
up
and planned to do this?
I mean, nobody stopped them. I mean, like.
They just show up with a routine.
Shalia, that's the answer. Nobody stopped them, and I find that ridiculous.
Well, that was my question. I don't see this happening. Like, anyone.
I can see that. It's also because it depends on the culture of the school. And with black culture, whoever has the mic has the mic.
But just showing up disrespecting other organizations.
Yes. At an HBCU, yes, you can.
I mean, No. Like, another group, though.
They do it to each other all the time.
Six guys jump on the stage and start saying that about alphas?
Well,
and they get through their whole set.
No, the first. Exactly.
That's the part that's not realistic. You ain't getting through your whole set.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Right? You get your first two lines out.
And I'm a large guy. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? In black culture, if you can do it and you're going to stand up and you ready to fight for it,
you going to rock it.
Yeah, get up there and do it. You know, and be prepared to fight.
Yeah. I mean, it might have been a real fight.
They can't
fight.
There'd
be a fight. There'd be a fight. We're gonna kick your gamma ass.
So how long to the routine do they get? How long to the routine do they get?
Less than a minute.
Over a
minute.
No. Like real life. How long?
Real life.
The moment you interrupt and get on my stage to cut my show.
If they get around and say some funny shit.
I'm talking about.
It's all fun.
I'm talking about.
That's one thing.
Nope. Bullshit.
You start talking shit. Bullshit. I understand, but they might get 2 minutes.
From my area. We on stage in my area where I pledge. We on stage and you call yourself. yourself getting up there disrespect. We knocking your ass the moment you enter the stage.
Yeah. You're not from Northwest. I can't say that. Right. I can't say that.
Are going to be like, okay, let's see what
you have. Let's beat.
So what are we going to do now about this? Oh, wait, they said what? On stage, all right, we gotta get on to this.
What group like that? Who's gonna fight the Kappas at Oregon State? It's like, yo, I'm the first one to get hit.
Justin told this story well because he's like, because there was a big guy. Was he a
the big dude who's still
there's a big dude.
But can we hear the story?
Justin, what are you,
6'2"? We need the story.
Right. No, the point is, there's another big guy.
They're big
guys. Justin's a lineman. They line up, and I remember the way you said it, because, listen, I was, 18, 19, so I couldn't go to the party. I couldn't go to the club, is what it was.
But we're
and Justin comes back, and he's like, me and him were hiding up, and he was like, I guess we have to do this. And the other big guy was like, yeah, I guess we have to.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, damn. Because,
like, big guys
these
like
little
that,
dudes really want to fight us.
They really have to do this right
now. We won that step show. We were supposed to find parties and bringing alcohol to the party, which we did. That's why we called ourselves Exodus. Look at our line.
I'm no longer going to call myself that.
But I don't
know.
After this. But anyway, so Glenn was intercepting super hard.
At the party.
Oh, stepping so goddamn hard.
So he's stepping at the party.
In the party, so we're
and everybody's there.
Hey, other fraternities just get mad because
Step
so hard. We won without canes.
I've seen it.
We won the whole West Coast down to California. Yep. Stepping so fucking hard. And so they got mad because
Let's be clear.
And you can attest this, good steppers attract women.
Yes.
So if you're understepping, you know what I'm saying? So all the women just come over to you, and it's these brothers' universities. And so they get jealous, and then security come over here, and then, like, the security guy says something, and then the captain says something, and then Glenn doesn't talk.
No.
Bam! Like, and so the girl couldn't keep up with it. So then we all fucking light up like a motherfucker. I looked at the other brother. He was sitting there.
He lined up my height.
And we all did, like, we all got in line. We looked at the fucker, looked at me. That bro, we were just like, fuck. We were going to tear this little fucking club up. I don't know what stopped us from fighting. I don't know what happened. I don't know why we didn't fight, but we were lined up. I think security came. I said, all right, everybody had to get out. Because it was like, it got that tense.
You guys came home early.
Yeah. Hey. Glenn, we are just reading the Glenn, but he was stepping so.
He
was our D.
No, he was our.
He was our D. And don't forget, at a party,
and I did step. He didn't fucking step. God, listen, he taught me to step.
That boy.
And I can't, like I never stepped, but he taught me to step.
You know, sometimes in conversations, if you argue with somebody on Snap or something like that, or he texts and you stop talking, you start doing emojis to each other, something like that. That's what he did with step. So, like, he just stopped talking to us. I'm about it. Step.
He just got to a step.
I'm going to say what I have to say in a different way. Like,
damn. He was sweating and shit.
This is the best story I've heard in a long time.
Oh, I wish you were there, bro, because it was crazy, man.
I remember being with my homeboy. We went to go visit his cousin down in Berkeley.
Yeah.
And it was like all these little small schools in the Bay. So we went to all these step shows, right?
Yeah.
And I kept seeing this girl. She happened to be a Delta. Mm-hmm. And she was fine.
Yeah.
So we go to this party. It's on Berkeley's campus.
Yeah.
Right? So go to this party. And the only other person I know is my boy. Yeah. I don't know anybody else there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So we're on campus. And I see the fine girl again. We start talking. She's like, you want to dance? I was like, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm like 20, 21. We're dancing. This dude, I don't know what fraternity he was in. He was with his frat brothers. Walks up. I'm dancing with this girl and says to her, hey, why don't you come up here and dance with a real man?
Yeah.
Now, so there's part of me that wants to say something, but I look and he got like 8 other dudes with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only other person I don't know where he's at.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, come on, man. This is about to be me, like 1-on-9.
Yeah.
And then she said, I am dancing with a real man. And like pulled me closer and he was like, all right, and walked away. Later on in the party, I see him and he dashed me up like, hey, man, what's up, man? You having a good time? I look at him like, bruh, y'all was about to try to stomp me out if I'd have said something. I just had to sort of dap him up and be like, hey, yeah, appreciate it.
So it was the same scene. It was little dudes fighting.
Yeah.
Like the big dudes would be scrapping. Yeah. Little dudes arguing when the big dudes
would be. These were all little dudes.
But I'm going to say it again. Glenn was stepping out harder than I am all night. You know what I think it was? I think he was so drunk, he probably couldn't talk anymore. But he can step. So that's what I'm gonna do.
Can he still?
We haven't seen
him in person. If you say something to him, I'll bet you he slaps the ground with his heel.
Another spiky sex scene.
Okay, we're gonna remember next time we see him.
This is real too. How the AKAs help you out?
I love this. I love that they are helping them.
Yeah. You love people getting help. Yeah. I love that they're being helped.
So we're an hour and 30 minutes in, and they're crossing their burning sands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the girls are helping and keeping them strong, and they work right. Like they are gonna drop their torch, and they're like, "No, don't do it. You're almost done." And they were there the year before, so they can
check to the older brothers.
Yeah, they're like, "We helped you last year. Mm-hmm. We know."
And nobody goes through this without help.
Yeah,
they can't really help us out that much.
There is a 20-year statute of limitations.
What is your question? You said the questions.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. Okay, so two questions that we ask first would be, what is your favorite part? Let's start with Shamit.
I mean, the party scene was here we are, right here.
But you had an interesting observation earlier.
As I pointed out to Tim, and I didn't realize the thing was that if you notice, there's no tattoos.
There's one, Julian is branded.
I'm saying, look.
Oh, they got a brand. There's no tattoo.
Can you imagine right now, if they do the same part, what would it look like? Everybody, a
college age.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know high school kids with tattoos.
Now. Yes,
thank you. Yeah, I know a lot of high school
kids. In the 80s?
We're talking about right now. You're saying if you did the same scene now, you would everybody
be tatted
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You said tatted up.
Well, I could afford it.
That's a good word for it.
Me and my brother, I said, I ain't really got no old money.
So this is my favorite scene. Everyone's kicking in.
My first tattoo, so I was
cool. Everyone's kicking in, having a good time. I really like the scene between, I call him Dutta Man, but we call him Radio Raheem too. Looking at the young lady across the room.
Yes.
Like, everybody disappears. But see, I like how she's aggressive with him. Like, I want you. And he's like, me?
It's like a dream sequence.
Yes, you. Right, yeah. Right.
Yep, she picks him out. Okay.
And the guy on the stage dancing, shaking his rump was everything to me.
Wait, you know what's funny about this, though? This is Go-Go, right?
Go-Go.
Yeah, Go-Go.
Nobody listens to Go-Go outside of D.C., right?
No. This is probably one of the most popular Go-Go songs. But other people, like Wale and other D.C. artists, would try to, stretch that sound out nationally.
Does this place the music? Or does this place the movie?
And back to my point of...
No.
Back to White's point about this can never be a musical, because... If they show this as a musical, this scene right here, all the black people would tear stadium up. And the police will come in and kick all the people out. Okay, it's over now. Everybody, dance right out of this.
Shalee, last year, I was just listening to this song over and over and over. Shalee was like, I don't like this song. And then 6 months later, she's like, I kind of like this song.
No, I don't like this song.
They just got regular people. It was just beautiful. Like, these women aren't
No.
But you don't say what about like regular, like.
I think he's
like,
the token in this movie.
Adam Sandler?
Or somebody. I'm gonna have to Wikipedia that.
Ooh, somebody just popped up. In
the video.
Right here in the scene, it's a white guy, you'll see.
Is Adam Sandler?
I think it's him. It might be somebody else. I feel like she was fanning. Yeah, Kool Aid or something.
So, as a girl who spent a lot of time in a bathing suit, these never made sense to me.
It's a splash jam.
Yeah.
But where's the water?
There's no water.
It's a splash.
Right. I mean, so I would.
So there's no water. So there's no water.
That's what. That's
Archie. Julia grew up looking at the ocean, just waves everywhere.
Yeah. It's the theme.
Yeah.
What I love about this scene is they're sweating, so you know them dudes is rocking for real.
Right.
They're rocking for real. Ooh. This is not a game.
Well, like I said, we almost got into a brawl over dancing.
There's real sweat in these scenes.
Educated individuals.
We almost got a brawl.
And that was not the only time.
No, it was not.
So, what else about the scene? Anything
that's
else?
That's all. That was my favorite scene. So.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Very good choice. Justin, as our other guest, what's your favorite thing about this movie?
Because of what I do for a living, I love the cut. I can watch it over and over again. The salt, you know what I'm saying? Who's the salt of the earth? You know what I'm saying? They finally got some agency, some control over these brothers that was better than them. You want something from me? No, you can't have this. The educated brother trying to be like, I'm walking out. Like, nah, we're going to follow you out here, but you can't shake us. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And it makes me think a lot about, I've been doing a lot of thinking about my high school friends and how to, I think that's part of it, you know what I'm saying? You get type of positions and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Some of the boys you grew up with, they still hang out and I see them. I think that's something to do with this. So, like, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
The opening of the movie. Ooh. When you introduce all the characters. It's one of the things I think Spike does well in his movies, which is intro characters. Mm-hmm. He's a very good job of like, here's the person is, here's how they coexist in this world I've created, and here's what they mean, right? That goes for main characters, supporting cast members, all of that. He's a genius at doing that, and this was a classic case of that. You intro to Dap initially, then you get Big Brother Almighty comes in, you get to see Half Pint, you get to see the women, like everyone's there in this little court at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like, he's really good at that. And I was like, okay, this is why.
But is that because he's trying to get them their shine on? Like, these people he feels that are talented.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're not getting the shine by White Hollywood.
Yeah.
So he puts everybody's names huge in the credits.
Yes, huge. He
does. So everybody,
Spike is good at that. Yeah. Like, Chiwetel Ejiofor who's now is like a huge actor, was like a supporting cast member in Inside Man. He's Denzel's partner. He's got a few lines, but he's good.
That might be a better explanation of what I respect all of his actors.
Sure.
Maybe a better way for me to put...
He put Nick Cannon in Chirac.
I'm trying. He's a drug, man. Now you didn't pee the Colt 45 out. Now you gonna try to get that.
He put Nick Cannon in Chirac.
That's enough.
All right, Kendon, what is your favorite part of this movie?
Yeah. No, like, my favorite part would have been the step show earlier, but, like, now, like, as a scene, at least... I really like when he's trying to convince all the different girls to have sex with him.
Yep, no, it's a good scene.
As a scene structure,
it's good.
You're looking at him, you look at his face, saying whatever he's saying, what she's saying, he would say, you could basically interchange whatever he's saying. Any of the women, all of their responses are funny in one way or another.
Yeah, and it reminds me of that dating scene from Coming to America, where like the women switch out, but it's the same pitch they're giving.
Yeah.
But the way he structures it, it's so true to life. Justin, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, maybe.
Uh-oh.
When I was not dating Shalia, gave me one of the best pieces of advice ever.
Shalia's like, whoa.
Probably not. When were you?
I don't know.
But no, I mean, it makes sense. He said it's all a numbers game. He said if one girl says no, talk to the next one. Now, I don't know if he meant like in that scene, but that's what it reminds me of, because he's just like, I'm going to talk to the next one. And the way that Spike makes that scene go is fun. It's hilarious.
And I'll end up being a fat kid at South Center Mall trying to holler at chicks.
You had told me 4 years earlier than that. I mean, I could have learned something 4 years earlier. But I met Shalia freshman year.
And she clapped that down like, nah, she worked this a wrap.
Yeah.
All right, Shirley, what's your...
I like the end. I like when they all wake up.
Yeah.
So it was really confusing to me. Why?
Yes.
I didn't know.
I agree.
So, and he's upset. He's, like, hearing what his cousin just did and is, like, wake up. And it was really cool because it's, like, all of these characters that you see throughout this whole film. And not all of them had big parts. Like, some of them were the, you know,
it's like a play. They all sort of come on stage.
Yes, and they're, like, getting out of bed and they're just, like, making their way out there. And then you see each one and, like... I remember being like, where's Tisha? And there she is. Like, she went home and went to bed, and now she's woken up and, like, standing in the yard.
Does that say Adidas Fi Adidas?
It does.
Yeah.
I want that jacket.
Hey, let me ask something. Okay, so let's go back to Spike Lee's amazing sex scenes that you don't like. And the thing about was it wrong or not. So, do you think that's why there was no sex scene in that?
Yeah, I think that.
So that's intentional.
That would have been an awkward, very disturbing sex scene.
Yeah, we didn't, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to comment on what you're saying, right? At the end of it, a lot of his movies have this where he kind of breaks all or kind of...
Yes.
It's almost play-like at the end.
Yes.
You know, I do...
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he hugged the prostitute, mm-hmm. or Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
He hugged her, he just started screaming.
There's something like that at the end of Do the Right Thing.
Oh, I remember
there's
how
there's things
that
like that and She Hate Me, like, all throughout it.
Yeah, all throughout, like, it comes across a little bit like a stage play, where at some point he says he wants to...
I'll use the F word.
Second question.
Was it influential?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question before this.
Yes.
As a woman, if this man brought you down them stairs to 30 men talking some shit, like, what do you know right then? Like, something's bad. Like,
yeah.
At least at this point, we try to leave.
I said,
she's with.
I think there's
that's
different content. You're talking
about this.
18-year-old. See, for me at 18, I was in the military, So that couldn't happen to me because I've been and shot everybody in the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if I didn't have that background and I'm in that setting, I don't know what I would have done.
I also will say that I think she's supposed to be 18 or like 21. I think there's a difference there.
Hey, yo, this is all bad.
Is she crying right now? She is crying.
He went into a room with a crying woman. He fucked up. Spike Lee's characters at point fucked up.
They all did.
But she is definitely the
one in this house where somebody needed to step up for her.
When you talked about her coming downstairs and feeling safe, it reminded me of Darren Sharper, who's now serving time for drugging and raping women.
Yeah.
But part of his MO was like, he's on TV every week. He's an ex-NFL star. He was literally on TV every week. He was traveling to these different cities. And his MO was like, these women felt safe. So he would be like, hey, before we hit this party, let's head up to my room, drink a little. And that's when he gave him like a dose of like methadone and something else that would knock them out. And then he would rape them. But part of why women went with him is because... people will say, well, why would you go with him? It's like, well, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Like, why would I assume that he, this man, who's on television every week, is going to assault me?
Like, that sounds exactly like what they would say about Bill Cosby.
Yeah, same thing. Like, so you're disarmed in that moment.
If you read his book, he got some bitches things up in 8 Years of Power. Y'all should read that book. I can't wait. They gave away free copies at the lecture last week. I've got it on reserve at the library. I'm waiting. Well, I'm almost done.
He got
my copy.
Okay, so the question is, and this is a hard one. Well, no, wait.
Does it?
There's another thing that we need to talk about. Okay, let's do a vote. There's another subject that we need to discuss, and then there's the question that I need to ask of all of you. What would you guys like to do first?
Topic.
Mm-hmm. We need to talk about good hair.
Yeah. Well,
first
you
of
mean?
All, everybody, go. Look, I don't know the woman's name, but go and look on for TikToks on YouTube.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, that was good.
Talking about natural hair. It's a huge fucking issue with
Black community.
I think the argument's done because weeds have been accepted.
Have you heard my story from two weeks ago?
I mean, it's working, but
why
do you and Tim have the hairstyles that you guys have?
I'm old.
Not just for ease.
I am old.
What was your hair like when you were 22?
It was longer.
How much longer?
I had braids.
Justin never did. I had braids. You had them spree? No hang time.
The entire time I know you.
I love it.
Cornrows isn't really even what we're talking about.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Curls. Straight up curls. Letting your curls go. Like I am right now.
But, you know, I don't think we're past it because, you know, every year it's a story about some young girl in school who's getting in trouble for having her hair natural. The natural way your hair grows, it's not.
What's worse is the stories you don't hear.
Yeah.
Because it's about what are women doing, black women doing, in the professional setting.
You said it's not a story. You said in trouble. That means that the system was thought amongst each other. Like, I don't feel like, man, I'm not 8 years old. I don't know if there's just good here or bad here. There's so much.
You're right. I think within face to face, I'm not going to talk about your hair. You're not going to talk about this person's hair. I think you're probably fine. But in terms of this still trying to fit in to make your hair look like a certain idea of whiteness, basically, that is still happening. It's not just length.
No, it's not just length. Because you think about it, this takes place in 1988. These are women in management positions now, right? Which means what decisions did they have to make to get to where they are? How did they wear their hair?
Yeah, the interesting thing, the TED Talk, just the pieces of the damage. And I mean, as guys, you wear your hair short most of the time. So I never really thought about it. But the whole idea of, like, especially as a black man, wearing his hair out and saying, this is the texture of my hair,
he's got nappy hair now, apparently. Who's a friend of my father, his 70s probably, and he was like, this is Ken, and he's the one with the nappy hair. Like, nappy hair was a bad thing to me in elementary school.
Yeah.
Because that's my idea. Yeah. You don't want your hair nappy. You don't want your hair. Mm-hmm. My hair, I don't know if it's nappy or nappy means uncombed to James. Not like I don't spend a little bit of hair time in my hair.
Because I think that's the narrative elders push, because your hair needs to be straight. You don't want to go in there looking at or unkempt hair. Your afro seems threatening.
Your braids look like a judge.
Last year, we had a court case in the United States where saying that dreads, a woman wearing dreads, and employment discrimination based on that didn't work. So, it was okay to discriminate based on somebody or make comments about somebody's
hair. In the military, they had pushed that rule. There was a rule that said. I remember when I was in the military, if I had gotten braids, it could be cornrow, but it had to be off my collar because clearly. But they had a rule saying you couldn't have dreads. There was rules around what your hair had to look like, but it was centered, if we look at it from a larger context, African-American women like this. So you're saying I can't have afro, you telling me I can't have dreads. I mean, it was targeted.
Yeah, my first wife was saying how she gets searched going through TSA all the time.
Yeah.
Strictly because of her hair, how her hair is styled.
I'm going to say, real quick, the woman we're talking about, her name is Cochran. Celebration of Natural...
Oh, what's your question? The movie's about to be over.
Not fried fish.
So, my question is, first of all, if you have a little girl, please don't talk about changing her hair. Let her be naturally dope. Okay, the question is this movie influential? And the question is, whether it's influential to you, and whether it's influential to, like, the culture and where we are now. So, it could be either or... wants to go first. And then wants to go first. Okay.
Absolutely yes, in both ways.
Okay. Shameen, is this influential to you at all? Because you saw this movie before you became a Delta.
Right. So I saw it when I was younger. I saw it right afterwards. Well, now they can see that a lot of these issues are currently happening.
Yes.
And they can point back and refer and say, oh, wait a minute, this happened. So even though this is fictionalized, I think it's very relevant.
Influential?
Yeah, to me, of course. Yeah, it was the first... probably my first introduction to HBCUs, historically black fraternities.
Where did you go to school?
No, I didn't. But yeah, so it was my first introduction to all that. And yeah, and just I think it really influenced a lot of people in our generation to go to college and to
absolutely.
To, you know, between this and Different World and like things were really like
all that
in the yeah. In the forefront, seriously, he did some good. Cosby did some good. He's not all evil. But yeah, it was this stuff was in the forefront of our entertainment, and it's not like we had a bunch of stuff to choose from. So the stuff we did get had this messaging in it, and I think it really pushed people to wanna, you know, to look at these things. Like, let me what is it like on a black college? Like, you know. What are these things? Right, they talk about South Africa and divesting. Like, what does that mean? It's all that stuff.
Yeah, and for me personally, you know, I don't know if it was influential for me because I was so young when it came out. Now that I'm looking at this, I'm thinking about I'm able to see myself the rest of my life because if, you know, like, not as much. You know what I'm saying? I did not tell Kim to sleep with me.
I didn't tell Shalita. That's
probably smart of both of you because you wouldn't be standing. Well, it was apparently influential. I honestly didn't know about this movie until maybe about
2 years. What?
Yeah, Kenan wanted to record this movie. That's when I first learned about it. I thought it was a cartoon.
Wow.
I'm not sure which cartoon I was mistaking it for, but it was not this. Close to this.
I now hate Hawaii.
It's not Hawaii's fault. It's not Hawaii's fault.
You were the island too long.
I don't think it's Hawaii's fault. So I wasn't familiar with this. But yeah, clearly it's influential. I mean, considering everybody in this room is definitely influenced. It's interesting because it's a snapshot of this type of life in a certain period of time, but it is so just central to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about people who I've met since and being like, wow, okay, so in 1988, maybe around this age, or is this what your experience was? Because it was different than my experience when we were in school.
Us three didn't experience we're at Lee White University, so different, like, this is a real bizarre.
But, so I watched it with my little sister, who's never been to a step show. So I'm able to point out the alphas and say, hey, that's Kendon's frat. Mm-hmm. And that's her, like, first trying. So it's interesting because, like, we didn't experience this, what they experienced. Other people at that same school.
It made me sad because it made me think about further action. Like, we're going to. So I snuck in with 275. And I graduated with 275, too. So
you're consistent. You're consistent. Right.
Real quick. I got in with a 3-2, came out with a 3-2.
But it was okay, though. But I'm saying, so, like, we were, like, the last... That's why there was a vibrant black culture on University of Washington's campus. Yeah. Granted, we didn't have a house, but everybody knew who we was, you know what I'm saying?
Campus had a house.
But they didn't own that shit.
Thank you for throwing that in.
They didn't own that house.
I've seen the change on campus just being around there.
Is it different now?
Yeah, because, you know, so my program I do every year with high school students, we're on UW's campus.
Yeah.
So even, and I've done it for the last 20 years, so even over that span, you see the change. And you're like,
they ended affirmative action the year before we.
Yeah, it was already slim.
I think the numbers, it was already slim.
It was already slim.
The numbers went down.
Gear up.
Costco scholarship.
You know, that's very... I'll say that because I remember going there and I was like...
That ain't why I'm here.
Right. I'm not here because of that. I mean, I was legit. That's why I'm here. But hey, it was stressed. It kind of just made me go, you know.
But I don't want... I push it back at you saying, I'm here, I'm legit. Just because my grades weren't 4.0 was because I couldn't raise my hand.
And meanwhile,
so I'm not saying,
so you know what I'm saying? So that's why I appreciate that program because it highlighted my other skills that might not show up.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about. So,
and I still got in there. I still able to have a decent.
Well, and like Justin is the reason I went to school. Like, the reason I'm a lawyer today and the things that I've been able to do are... I mean, I would have done stuff, maybe. But Justin's the one who, like, made me go to law school.
Well, because I just flunked out. I was about to flunk out.
No, this is before that.
That was before that. No, I was like, I think I'm going to law school. And Justin was like, okay, well, with your grades right now, you can get into a top 35 school. You're going to get, like... Don't push it off because you're not going to want to do school longer than that. So do it now. And it was literally Christmas. I was going to do a second senior year. I was going to go study abroad. I was going to teach for America. I was just kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And like Justin coming home to visit us during the holiday, like Christmas break, and was like, you need to do this. So I did. And that's literally how I ended up in law school because I got accepted. I guess I'm going to law school next year. Like, I guess I'm graduating. I guess this is happening and it's all your fault.
No, I got that shit too. I apologize to me.
All right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for spending this time with us. It's been really fun. I don't know how much of this we're getting.
I know. I'm gonna edit a lot out, but it was a great conversation.
We've got a good amount of time. So
yeah. Hey, look, and I'm gonna fry some fish in about 2 hours. So if y'all want to come over eat some fish, you know you're welcome to my house.
I'm coming to your house.
Yeah, you're coming. We're watching the Dub game and celebrate this white institutional. Instead of this football.
That's right. I saw you with the UCLA game.
Yeah.
I was like, when I just saw you, I saw you there. Yeah.
All right. Oh, if you like us, give us a rating. If you want to give us feedback, we're on iTunes,
Pocket Cast, Stitcher, right?
And Stitcher.
Stitcher Radio.
And Podomatic.
And Podomatic.
Shameen, you've been back. Will you be back again?
No.
All right. Well, thank you.
That's on the record. No, the hell you won't. That's on the record.
Uh-huh.
I'll be an observer.
Right. Justin, thank you for being here. Will you come back?
Thank you
for the 40s, for the beverages. I think we all made it through ours. Cheers.
We was really here on this Colt 45.
All right.
All of these 40s are actually empty.
And happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you, man.
I'll probably listen to this on my birthday. Happy birthday to me.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you.